Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. Well, there are many subjects that can be discussed. I keep a running list. The left's attack on freedom of speech, President Trump's withdrawal from northern Syria and the Kurds, the impeachment hearings, the Democratic candidates, the rise of socialism, immigration. All this current news is a revelation of God's providential working in this world. As my history professor back in seminary used to say, we are to see and trace the providence of God in all of human history. So in the weeks to come, some Bible commentary on those issues can be addressed. But for this week's program, let's look at some straight-up Bible prophecy. Ultimately, we don't want to become news junkies. We want to become students of God's holy word. Because it's the word of God that sanctifies us, encourages us, directs us. And it's the word of God that gives us a framework through which we can process all of the events surrounding us. Now, there are many Old Testament books that contain future prophecies. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Hosea. But the one Old Testament book that contains the most detailed prophecies is the book of Daniel. God revealed to Daniel the empires of man that will arise on the earth, the details about the coming Antichrist, the time of the coming of the Messiah. And to fully understand the New Testament book of the Revelation that describes the coming apocalypse, it's necessary to know the book of Daniel. Among the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were hidden away in about 150 BC by a Jewish group called the Essenes, there was found 8 copies of the book of Daniel. More copies of Daniel than any other book. And that's not surprising because the Essenes were a community of Jewish purists who were all about last time eschatology. And the prophecies, particularly those of Daniel, led the Essenes to believe that the Messiah would soon arrive to save Israel. They probably took Isaiah 26:20 literally. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. Behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place. So the Essenes created a community in the desert far away from the rest of the world. But Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 was instruction concerning what to do in the apocalypse, not what to do before the days of the Messiah. And certainly now, even though we know the apocalypse is coming, Christians ought not to hide away in the desert. We need to be active in the public square, letting our light so shine before men. Daniel himself was a public official in this pagan country of Babylon, and this becomes a pattern for God's people in the world today. Anyway, because Daniel is so specific in his prophecies about the rise of Persia and the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, critics have late-dated the book, saying that it could not have been written by Daniel in 500 BC. But the Dead Sea Scrolls provide plenty of evidence that Daniel was written by Daniel during the Babylonian exile. So let's look at Daniel chapter 9. This great prophecy about the years left for the Jewish people and the coming of the Messiah. According to chapter 9, verse 1, the prophecy came to Daniel in the first year of Darius, when the Babylonian government was overthrown and taken over by the Persians. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the destruction of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So Daniel knew, according to the prophecy written by Jeremiah, written when Daniel himself was a boy, that after 70 years, the Jewish exile would be over, the Jews would return home from Babylon. Notice Daniel says, I observed in the books. He He knew God's word well enough to be able to discern the signs of the time and to discern the will of God. Here's the prophecy, Jeremiah 25:11. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. It's a reminder that Christians ought to turn to the word of God for direction. Remember Jesus' condemnation of the Jews in his own day. You can discern the signs of the weather, but why can't you discern the signs of the time? The spiritual eschatological prophecies. Just like so many people today, the people in Jesus' day were able to direct their intelligence toward earthly things. But concerning the things of God, they were uninterested and spiritually ignorant. But Daniel observed in the prophecy the plan of God. Not only did Daniel seek the plan of God in Scripture, he had the faith to believe in the prophecy. And I find it very interesting that Daniel took God's word literally. If God said the Jews would be in Babylon for 70 years, then Daniel expected the Jews to begin making plans to return home after 70 years. Daniel's faith is especially significant in that so many religious scholars spiritualized the prophetic scriptures, but not Daniel. But no, Daniel saw 70 years, and so a literal 70 years it would be. And this literal nature of prophecy is important to note. As we look at the prophecy of the 483 years prophesied for the Jews at the end of this chapter. Just like the Jews were literally to be in Babylon for 70 years, so also there will be a literal 483 years until Messiah and a literal 7-year apocalypse to come. So, knowing the biblical prophecy, what did Daniel do? Did he just passively wait to see what would happen? No, Daniel engaged himself in serious prayer over this matter. Daniel 9:3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. What was Daniel praying about? The prophecy had been given, and the prophecy was sure. But what Daniel prays is a prayer of confession and repentance for his nation, praying that God's anger and wrath will be turned away from the Jews. Daniel 9:18. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation in the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplication before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay because your city and your people are called by your name. If God ordained the Jews to return to Jerusalem, God would also ordain the means, the prayers of his people. Prayer in this case is lining up our plans and our passions with the will of God, praying for what God plans to do. Even in our current dispensation, we know that Jesus is returning. Yet we still pray, even so come Lord Jesus. We still pray for the deliverance to come. And there is a sense in which the prophecy is very fluid. Yes, the Jewish people would return from exile, but how many would be considered worthy of the kingdom? Because many of the Jews did not return from Babylon. Many had established businesses, they had changed their culture, they had changed their language. And so God has many wonderful prophetic promises for the future, but whether you will be a recipient of that blessing depends on your heart and your devotion. So don't think of prophecy as just being fatalism. You and I choose whether we're going to be the recipients of the blessing of prophecy or the curse. So we all need to pray. and pray in line with the will of God. And again, Daniel's prayer is a prayer of repentance. The Jews in the past sinned, but Daniel prays in the present tense, and Daniel includes himself. Daniel 9:13, as is written in the Law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. The Lord our God is righteous with respect to all of his deeds, which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. So even though Daniel was a prophet, even though he walked with God, he knew he was cut from the same cloth as every other Jew. And this whole chapter speaks to corporate guilt. And when we think about the corruption of America, let's not get carried away with an us versus them attitude. You know, let's not be like that Pharisee who stood up in the temple and prayed, I am thankful I am not like others, when in fact, he was very much like others. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to the law of God, all of us have contributed to the sins of America, not just those we label as being on the left. Daniel 9:11, indeed, all Israel has transgressed and turned aside and not obeyed your voice. Nobody has a leg to stand on. Even the great prophet Isaiah confessed, I am a man of unclean lips. So for there to be God's salvation, there must be an acknowledgement that God is right and just in his evaluation of our sins and in bringing judgment. Notice also in Daniel's prayer the great sensitivity he had toward violating the law of God. Daniel 9:10, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he has set before us through his servants the prophets. Our great sin is in not giving attention to God's truth. For most people, they don't consider that a big deal. But nobody can approach God with the attitude of, I just broke a few laws, or God judges on a curve, or compared to other nations, we're not so bad, or nobody's perfect. Instead of that, there needs to be sincere remorse if the individual is to partake of the deliverance part of future prophecy. Well, I could have skipped over this whole section about Daniel's prayer and just jumped right into verse 24, the prophecy given the years to come for Israel. But that would be missing out on the whole heart of prophecy. There's a lot of people who, out of curiosity, just want to know dates and times and events. But the first end of prophecy is to address the condition of your soul, your connectedness to God. You're missing the message and the purpose of prophecy if it doesn't drive you to your knees in repentance. And I hope that every political issue I discuss on this program is not simply for the purpose of head knowledge, but that it brings you to the place of worshiping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So God answers Daniel's prayer through a message from the angel Gabriel. Daniel 9:21, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me, saying, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding by the vision. So the angel came with an answer, but what was Daniel's question? Daniel was inquiring into the restoration of Israel according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. And the answer is that 490 years will take place before Israel will be fully restored. And implied in that answer is that the plan for God's restoration of Israel would be through the promised Messiah. Daniel 9:25, so you're to know and to discern from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. There will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Daniel 9:25 is an admonition. So you are to know. And if God says we're supposed to know something, then it must be important. Even Jesus told us to pay attention to the prophecy of Daniel, for those prophecies are still to be fulfilled, and they apply to the church. Matthew 24, verse 15, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." Well, where did Daniel mention the abomination of desolation? Right here in Daniel chapter 9. So if Jesus directs us to pay attention to the prophecy of Daniel, then it must be important. The prophecy begins, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. 70 weeks or 77 have been decreed for the Jews. And we know this refers to years. Because in the context, Daniel is thinking in terms of the 70 years of exile. And God is saying that there are still seven more 70s to go. 490 years. In the Old Testament law, particularly Leviticus 25, the Jews were told to divide times into years of seven, sabbaticals. And the land and the people were to rest every 7 years. The exile into Babylon for 70 years was linked to Israel's failure to keep the sabbatical years. So if the exile into Babylon was for 70 years, 1 year for each sabbatical missed, then Israel must have failed to keep the sabbaticals for 490 years. Well, if the exile began in 586 BC, that would mean Israel failed to keep the sabbaticals since about 1096 BC. Around the time of Samuel and the beginning of the unified Jewish nation under the first king Saul. Now notice, God is saying to Daniel, in a sense, that 70 more sabbatical years are still to come for Israel. You've had 490 years of the nation. Now there's going to be another future 490 years. And in the remaining 490 years, six things will be accomplished. Two groups of three. The first three is to stop the negative. The second three is to bring in the positive. 490 years to finish or end the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make atonement for iniquity, a covering or forgiveness for sin. Transgression, sin, iniquity are the common Hebrew words to describe evil. The three other words here are finish, end, and cover. And remember that since the fall of man in the garden, God planned to make an end to evil in this world and in us. Then comes the three positive statements. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Oh, there were times Israel turned back to the Lord, but it was never permanent. They always returned back to sin. To seal up visions and prophecy means to close the book on prophecy. That after this period of time, prophecy would be fulfilled. All of the promises of God's coming judgment on the wicked and the reward for the righteous would be complete. This means the end of the present world of sin as we know it, and to anoint the most holy place. To anoint means to wipe with the hand or to cleanse. The holy place is the place where God dwells with man, and it's man's uncleanness that makes access impossible. There are two aspects here. This refers to the inaugurating or the commencement of the most holy place. As the Old Testament temple was anointed after it was built, you know, God's throne does not need to be cleansed, but this is probably referring to the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. But it also refers to the soul of man. That's the temple that also must be cleansed and anointed, because that's the true dwelling place of God among his people. Now, we know everything mentioned in Daniel 9:24, these six events, come through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But the details of how it comes through the Messiah was yet to be revealed. That is how through Christ sin was ended and righteousness gained. But here Daniel simply to know that in 490 years, God will finish his work with the Jews. Sin will be atoned for, sin will be removed, and righteousness will rule. And this is the goal that God has for his people: to make an end to our sin and to bring in everlasting righteousness. I think if we understand the end of God's plan, everything that God is doing in our lives makes more sense. God is not interested in our comforts as much as he's interested in our holiness. Matthew 1:21. The angel said to Joseph, "Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." That's the goal. But we all know that 490 years has come and gone since that prophecy was given. At least 483 years of the prophetic time clock has already passed. There is a gap between verses 26 and 27 of Daniel chapter 9. After 483 years, Jerusalem is destroyed, and the prophetic clock stops. The final 7 years in the 490 years involves a future covenant. There's this pause in the 490 years, and it's called the time of the Gentiles. How do we know this? Well, because Jesus and the apostles told us so. Luke 21, Jesus said, "There will be great distress upon this land, Israel, and wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all of the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." And Paul writes in Romans 11:25, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." The prophesied 490 years was for the Jews. It was about God's specific hand and work with the Jews. But what was unexpected, what Paul says was kept hidden in ages past, is this time of the Gentiles, where the body of God's people is not just populated with Jews, but Gentiles from every nation and tribe and tongue. The insertion of the Gentile church age between Israel's 483rd year and the final 7 years should not be considered an interpretive stretch of the imagination. Paul taught in Ephesians 3:5 that in other generations the Gentile church was not made known to the sons of men. Well, there's a lot more biblical exposition to discuss in regard to this text, but I'll leave that all for the extended version of this program on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. I believe this will be YouTube number 96. For the further explanation of Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, check out the YouTube channel. And you've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website for all of the links to this program are godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. I always pray that these programs cause your love to abound more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Philippians 1:9. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we're again amazed how you are sovereign over times and years and dates and events. That the years and times ordained for us are determined, even as the Father has fixed the time of the coming kingdom by his own authority. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.